And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, of course, heard live every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And I'm really excited right now because this is a North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour starring none other than Gordon Parkman, Achieve Results Consulting. Gordon, how are you?
I'm well, David. How about yourself?
I am great. It's always nice to have you here in studio. You've been here like at least three times. You're going to be – we're going to like have a sign that where is Gordon when you're not here.
Well, I think you offered my own – offered me my own radio show, so I mean
– yeah.
And I turned it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have a new contract. I think I'm going to really increase the incentives.
Well, that's all right. We can continue to talk.
But we're at $2 million already.
I know. Well, that's all right.
He's quite a negotiator, I will say. There's no doubt. And of course, North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour is sponsored, obviously, by the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce. Hmm. And that's just a great organization. You are in such an upswing. I'll tell you, you got a mixer coming up Thursday, I believe.
That's correct.
Why don't we say a few things about that just so people know, and then we'll go right into our special guest in studio.
Okay, we have our mixer coming up this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Kona Grill at City North.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're relatively new. They're a new member. One of the things that we do make a point of, all of our venues are at member locations because it provides an opportunity to show off.
Yeah.
You know, to showcase these locations. We've been running about 100 members and guests attending each of those mix and mingles.
Yeah. It's very nice turnouts, there's no doubt. Last couple times you had at Moon Valley, I think it was at the Blue Martini before that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really enjoyable. You can meet a lot of good people, meet new people, and... yeah, so the Chamber website, they could just go to the Chamber website.
That's correct, and it gives all the events. And just go to the calendar, and we've got events all the way out through right now, probably out through October.
Oh,
already on the website.
That's huge. Wow, that's a long time.
Yep.
Now, a trivia question. let's introduce Ellie Gaines. First of all, owner of All Schools Considered. And before we really get into it, I want to ask a trivia question. Trivia question. What's today?
Today is Monday.
Yes.
April 15th.
Yes.
Tax day.
She is quite correct. Why is that significant, Gordon, for me especially?
For you? I have no idea.
I'm a CPA.
Oh, that's right. You're a CPA.
Wow.
But by the way, today's also Patriots Day.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Wow. And that's really the major focus is, you know, that tends to be more of a New England holiday.
Wow. And talking about New England, we do want to mention our thoughts and prayers go out to anyone obviously injured, any type of, adverse situation in the Boston Marathon where bombs have gone off evidently today. And we were talking off there, and Ellie, you thought there was even more than two bombs, which is...
I did. I heard that on the radio as I was coming down here today. It is tragic.
It's amazing. And one of the biggest, if not the biggest marathon in the United States, I believe, is the Boston Marathon. And I guess we'll know more about this, but we are we have major concern, and our prayers go out for anyone that was injured or hurt and to their families. Ellie Gaines, welcome. You are a member of the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and I think you won your trip here to the radio show?
I did. My name was drawn out of the bowl with my business card at one of the events, and I am thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me here.
You're more than welcome. So let's talk a little bit about this very unique concept that you have, and I don't know if you have even any competition, but why don't you describe it a little bit, what you do, then go into your background. And then we'll just have a conversation about
this. Sure, absolutely. So my business, All Schools Considered, was recently launched. I'm a preschool through grade 12 school search business where we help families find the right school fit for their children.
That's really interesting. Now you've been a teacher, so let's go in your background a little bit. You've been a teacher for how long?
Sure. So I was a teacher for many years, started in private college prep, and then moved into public district schools, and was a teacher for, over 20 years, and then was an assistant principal, and then a principal.
Really? Wow. A principal?
Yes.
For how long?
For 3 years.
That's sort of cool. So what motivated you, what inspired you to get in this type of business, like a search firm for schools?
Sure. Well, I really thought a lot about where there's a need. And through the course of my career as a teacher and a principal, I often coached families as to whether they were in the right school for their child to be successful. So I decided that there is a need to help families with regards to school search. And because in Arizona we have so much opportunity to choose schools, there are many schools to choose from. We have open enrollment, which means families can choose any public school to attend as long as there is room available at that public school and as long as they transport their own child. And there's so much information out there for families about schools, Dave, that it can be very confusing and stressful. So I launched my business, All Schools Considered, to assist families with that school search, help save time and lessen stress for them.
So let me ask you, when someone's listening right now and they go, oh, yeah, this is interesting, what would be some of the reasons why a family, parents, would want to do a school search? What would be those reasons?
Sure. Well, there are many reasons. One of the easiest to think about would be if they're relocating. So whether they're relocating around the state of Arizona or even just across the metropolitan area, and they are unfamiliar with the schools that are available, that might be one reason. But there may be other reasons that they would be moving as well. One, it could be transition, a natural transition, so between preschool and elementary, or elementary to middle, or maybe middle to high school. It also could be that they just need a fresh start. Maybe a student has not been successful in some way, and they just need a fresh start with a new school and a new school community.
How often is that important? So, I remember, wow, Gordon, it's been a long time since I remember being back in school, but I do remember for some reason. And I always thought a teacher made a big difference, the motivating style, just the overall style. So would that be a reason or let me ask you this first, how important is that?
How important is the teacher?
The success of kids.
Well, absolutely. I mean, research shows the teacher is absolutely critical. It's the number one reason for success or failure of a child in school. So, absolutely. And sometimes it may be that families have become disappointed, perhaps, in the teachers that they've had at a particular school, and so that may be a reason they're moving. Sometimes families move to schools for a particular teacher that they've heard about. Not that there's a guarantee that they can get that teacher, though. That's not always a parent choice. That's still school choice.
Now, on the flip side of that, is there sometimes the student, using that as an excuse, like, oh, it's the teacher, when maybe they're not really trying?
Sure, absolutely, it could be. And so part of my job with helping families find the right school fit for their children is I actually interview the child first. I start with the child so that I can get to know them a little bit and get to know their personality, their dynamics, their interest. And then I interview the family as well and then see if there's an alignment between the two. And if not, then we talk about that as well, as where the needs need to be met.
So has it ever happened where you interviewed the student and the family, and you decided, no, they're at the best school possible?
Absolutely. And, that's been really exciting for me because certainly schools have questioned, well, now, why are we going to want to help you with this? And I said, well, what's interesting is that sometimes, the grass is not always greener. So when I work with a family and I get to know the child, get to know the family's interest, and we look at their current school, what we may find is that really to make a move is not really in the best interest of the child, and they really had more than they realized they did at their current school.
What's the advantage of the schools having people relocate out of their district?
I'm sorry, could you clarify
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, why would a school want someone driving so far to go to their school? Is there a reason?
Sure. Well, you know what? Schools are businesses, too. And today, quite honestly, schools are competing for the same students. So because Arizona is an open enrollment state, it means that in the public sector of schools that families can choose whichever school they would like to attend if they provide transportation, if there's an opening for the child. So certainly schools are now competing just like any other businesses are for their students. And so it's in their best interest to help families find the right school fit. Also, I really believe, this is a little bit off but related, is that I really believe that schools have their own personality, their own culture, they fill their own niche. And so, if you approach schools today and ask them, why your school? Why would I pick your school? They usually have a story to tell about how their school fits a particular niche.
That's really interesting, but I'm really I want to get in a little bit more deeper into both those two concepts, that schools are businesses also. How does that work with the school? I mean, why is that important? Are some schools just way under-enrolled and there's certain budgetary tie-ins to having under-enrollment or perhaps certain results from academic sense?
Well, sure. So businesses from the standpoint that enrollment is what guides funding. So that's true in the public sector or the private sector. So what schools can offer is based on, what their enrollment is. And so if schools begin to lose students, it becomes even more critical that they think about why they're losing students, try to make those improvements, and bring families back into their schools.
So when are we going to see the commercials among schools here in Arizona? You know, I can offer you Domino's pizza. I can offer King Crab Legs lunch every Friday.
Actually, they're already in the Harkins theaters. So,
are they? Really?
Oh, absolutely. So I see school district and private school and charter school advertisements already. They're there.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, my Gordon, what do you think of it?
No, I saw that this past Friday. No, at the Harkins Theater.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things that's interesting that I had a conversation with my neighbor the other day. The other thing is that's competing is the homeschooling element.
Oh.
Absolutely. So there's choice. We have school choice in Arizona, and homeschooling is definitely an option for families. But we also have, we have public district schools. We have public charter schools. Many families don't understand what charter is, that they are public schools. And we have parochial and private schools. So it is required by law that children attend school. And so if a family would decide that they have not found the right school fit for their child and their family, they may opt for the homeschooling option like Gordon mentioned. That's a great point, Gordon.
What's the trend there? Is the trend more homeschooling?
I think the homeschooling environment has continued to grow over the years, and it's been around for a long time. Homeschooling started in Arizona, maybe 15, 20 years ago. I'm sure longer ago, but when it became publicized. And so there certainly is a homeschooling niche, continues to grow, but I would not say they have the lion's share of enrollment, so to speak, in schools.
Now, do you consult on that, too?
I do, absolutely. Well, I guess a question would be there that certainly I could work with families who are considering the homeschooling option to look at, reasons they may or may not consider it. But also, if they homeschool, they still need to select a curriculum they're going to use. They need to be registered with the Department of Education if their child is being homeschooled. And so there's a little bit more to homeschooling than sometimes families realize. So I would probably be able to consult with them as well on that.
That is really interesting. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Ellie Gaines, owner of All Schools Considered. Of course, this is North Phoenix Chamber Commerce Radio Hour. Gordon Parkman is in the house, and we'll be right back. Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, In addition to water and fire damage repair, our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the third Monday of each month from 3 to 4, it's the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour. Today, starring Gordon Parkman. And you like it. You like coming here, right?
Of course. This is fun.
So I'm going to lower from 2 million to 1 million.
Oh, I like the 2 million better.
All right. Back to 2 plus fun.
There you go.
And we have one of the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce members, Ellie Gaines, who won a trip here. Our interview right here on the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour. And, of course, your company, All Schools Considered, really helping parents find the right school. It's unique. I haven't heard of that before. Are you the only one here in Arizona?
I am. So this is a new concept to Arizona, and I do consider all schools in the school search process, which is actually very unique as well.
That is amazing. Of course, we were sort of joking, but not about the Harkins having a competition, evidently, from schools wanting enrollment. Now, are they like, is there a backstory on that, or are there like certain secretive squads out there trying to recruit students to come over to other schools?
Well, no, but I think, you know, schools market themselves like other businesses do, so.
That is amazing, especially public schools. I would never have guessed that.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, there's various reasons you started to talk about that. You know, every school has its own culture. Better teachers at a particular school might motivate parents and the child to go to that particular school. How about this? This is big. This is big in college. It's for sure is for athletic reasons. What do you know about that?
Absolutely. So certainly some families do choose particular schools, but I don't know the rules exactly that I could say it on the air, but I do know that there's some limitation on time that a student needs to attend a school before they can participate sometimes in those varsity sports especially. So, yeah. And that's to, I think, work around that recruiting piece with regards to recruiting athletes for schools. We still need to maintain that focus on the academic piece of the schools, which is why families should be selecting those schools. And then certainly the sports are a really important aspect for some students.
Well, in college, it is big, big business. Am I right, Gordon?
Absolutely.
I mean, like, huge business.
Serious business.
Absolutely. And then there's recruiting for the colleges at the high school level. Absolutely. So that is important.
Yeah, very, very important. Now, we talked a little bit on homeschooling. I just want to wrap that part up, and we'll go into some other areas. But there is a trend there, and advantages, disadvantages of homeschooling.
Sure. Well, you know, advantages might be that a parent, or if they've gotten together with a group of friends and created kind of a cohort of families that have come together, is that they could really look at the core instruction, core subject instruction, and, you know, that's the math and the language arts or English language arts and the social studies and science, and do core instruction for maybe half the day, and then they can look at the other half of the day for doing field trips or other enrichment-type activities with children, giving them socialization opportunities, sports, things like that. So those are some advantages. Advantages is that flexibility that a parent would have with regards to homeschooling their children around those ideas or topics. Disadvantages would be that parents have to work pretty hard to do homeschooling, so they need to choose a curriculum and look at other options for how they're going to provide enrichment for their children with regards to field trip type opportunities, socialization, sports. Certainly they need to register with the Department of Education that they are homeschooling their child. And then they also need to look at standardized testing. So if they want their students to be a part of the state-required standardized testing, or eventually the ACTs and SATs, then they need to find where they can do that, typically at their neighborhood public school, but they would need to look into that.
So why would someone do homeschooling, especially since you're here now offering other opportunities?
Sure.
Why?
So I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but I would say that sometimes families, there are lots of different reasons why families would choose homeschooling, but it could be, you know, being disappointed with their other school options and not knowing any other option than to try homeschooling. It could be that a family really wants that flexibility for their own family schedule, and depending on their own family interest and involvements, or perhaps a parent's work schedule, things like that, that may be enticing to them to consider.
Interesting. Wow, there's so many options. You were even talking a little bit on the break about online schooling. I've heard that in college, Gordon, but I guess you've heard about it for public schools.
Yep, and I was just saying that there's a lot of focus on that. Just like we've talked earlier today about, you know, the whole radio and, you know, the internet and those kind of things right now. There's huge changes going on in the whole communications world.
Really is with technology. Mm-hmm. It's so quick. You get one thing, and then, you know, 3 months later, you don't have, you know, it's obsolete almost.
Sure, absolutely. So there are a lot of options for parents with regards to technology in the schools, and certainly virtual academies are available, so students can be schooled entirely on the computer if that is their choice. But there's also some other options, too, which are important to mention as well, Dave. So there's blended learning model, which is really interesting to know about. That's where you take some traditional education structure, so to speak, you take courses like you normally would in school, but then you do also get some of your credits online as well. So they call that the blended learning model. So you would maybe take one or two courses in the computer lab during the course of the school day or at home, and then you would also take regular traditional classes. So that's an option. And then another piece that's really important to bring up is the trend towards schools with technology with regards to providing technology, but also encouraging students to bring their own technology to school. And so certainly with smartphones and laptops and iPads and the notebooks, etc. That's a trend that I'm seeing a lot of.
I have one question. Let's see, for both of you, for Ellie and Gordon, when will a smartphone start taking the test instead of the students?
Well, would you like to answer that first,
no,
Gordon?
Thank you.
So actually, it's kind of interesting because smartphones now are autoresponders for testing. So, you know, it's already there. So
really?
A teacher can plug it in with using some software, and the students can answer their test on the phone, and it scores it immediately and gives them feedback immediately. Pretty amazing.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I know it's interesting. My grandson he takes his reading tests on the computer and gets, as soon as he's done, he hits done and it gives us the test score.
Really?
Yeah, he reads a book and then he goes online, takes the test for the book, and then when he hits done, it gives him a score.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we're hearing too, Gordon, that, you know, the park assessment coming up in 2015, which is going to be replacing AIMS, and it's for the Common Core State Standards, that will be evidently entirely electronic. So schools are really gearing up and making sure that their technology is up to par and that they're going to be able to serve their students with that assessment. Yeah.
Wow, so many things. Have you ever visualized, like, 5 years from the future what schools might look like?
You know, I would like to take a stab to say that I hope they look very much like they do now, meaning that we are simply moving forward with technology and engaging it and integrating it and using it to really help students learn. But at the same time, we're really maintaining some of the tradition of the socialization that we get in schools, the sports, the family events.
You know, I always thought it'd be a great movie if... I think they probably had a movie like this where it's evolved so much, or maybe that's not even the world. I mean, word, maybe it's gone the opposite way where everything is like virtual, and, you know, like the sports no longer performed by athletes, but they're behind the gaming board, you know.
Like the Wii.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that, Gordon, is that going that way? What do you think?
I hope not. But I think it's interesting. I think one of the things that just listening, reflecting back on some conversations I've had with individuals recently about schools, that depending on the school district, especially more at the high school level, there's a different focus, whether it be on a little bit more in athletics, a little bit more in a technology. And I had a conversation with an individual who made a choice after speaking with a principal at two different schools, and one, her question was, you know, tell me about the technology. And in one school that went on and on and on, the next school she went to, the response to that question was, is your son interested in playing football? And so I think this is, you know, I just see a huge opportunity in the kind of things that Ellie does to really help people understand. She has a good feel for what's going on out there in the various schools, which makes it an awful lot easier for her to be the resource for these parents to make sure that their children end up in the school that makes most sense for them and the families.
Sure. And, you know, Gordon, one thing I work really hard at is to get to know those schools well enough, and that I do some of the homework for parents with regarding to find out how are they using technology? How are they using sports? How are they encouraging students to be actively involved in their schools, either in clubs, either competitive or non-competitive sports, is really important. So it's about helping families get the kind of information they need so that they can make the right school placement.
I think that's fantastic. It really is. It gives so many options and flexibility, and it's directed for kids, and that's very precious to help and guide kids through their schooling years.
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I really do believe that, you know, education is the key, and it's the key to their future no matter what they plan to do with their future. We know that.
No question about it. And how do you know, then we'll take a break in just a few minutes, but how do you know each school? I mean, that's interesting. Do parents say, wait a minute, how do you get around so much that you can really understand the dynamics, the culture? And maybe we should ask, what are the criteria you look at?
Sure, absolutely. That's a great question. And, you know, anybody that knows me would say, oh, well, we know how Ellie does that. She's a really busy person. She's got a lot of energy. She loves being in school. She builds great relationships with people. And so that's a great question. There are hundreds of schools in Arizona. So the answer to that question is I may not know every school today. However, I'm very good at understanding school systems. I know how to get information, work with schools, and I develop relationships with them where I go into the school. And I the website gives me about 25% of the information I need about a school.
Oh, really? Wow. And how do you, what do you meet with the principal first? Is that how it works?
Sure. I usually meet with a principal or an assistant principal, sometimes a curriculum director or an admissions director. Mm. And I meet with them for about an hour, and I collect about 90 points of data on a school. And it's, you know, it helps me form a picture of what that school really has to offer so that I can make that right fit for families.
What are some of the more important criteria? You said 90 points of data. I mean, if you could say I mean, I'm sure it's all important, but is there some more important than others?
Sure. Well, you know, so really I look at three areas, and then there is a lot of information I gather in each of those areas. So I look at academics, obviously. Schools exist for the academics. But I also look at the physical structure of the buildings. Right. I look at their classrooms. I look at their fields, their playgrounds, all those other things that are important as well. And then I look at the social and emotional opportunities for students. What is the culture and what is the environment for the students? Wow. How do they meet individual student needs?
That is really thorough.
I try to be. I'm a thorough person.
Guess what? I think you're going to need a manager after I mention this.
All right.
Write a book, and I will manage it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Don't you think she should write a book?
I think she should.
I think
at least one.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. A bestseller.
Okay.
And you could say you've been here on Breakthrough Thinking. We got you started.
That's awesome. We'll do.
Better than Oprah. Okay, so let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with a special in-studio guest, Ellie Gaines, the owner of All Schools Considered. We, of course, have Gordon Parkman, the favorite Gordon Parkman, I should say, North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour. We'll be right back.
Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Thank you. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And the third Monday of each month from 3 to 4, it is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour starring Gordon Parkman, Achieve Results Consulting, with special in-studio guest Ellie Gaines, owner of All Schools Considered. And on the break, this is great because Ellie loves the radio so much, and you're a first-time radio person, right?
That's right. Thank you.
She asked us a question, Gordon. And let's turn the host over to Ellie. What did you ask? What was our school?
Oh, remind me. Let's see. I asked you what your school experience was, and I actually ask students that, obviously, but I also ask parents that when I work with them, or grandparents or foster parents. I ask them, you know, what was your school experience, and why would I ask that question? I'll ask it back to you.
I think you asked to the parents. Why that? Here's my personal opinion. You ask them because often their school experience is a filter for future decisions. Hey, Gordon, what would you say?
I agree. I absolutely agree because, and I think what happens oftentimes is that you have a mindset that if it was a good or bad, depending on whether it was a good or bad experience, you'll tend to reflect that on your own children or guidance regarding, you know, why you got to, you know, about this and that and whatever the particular case may be. But again, remember that, you know, at least from my standpoint, that was so many years ago, I can barely remember it. But at the same time, the whole education system has changed. And again, I grew up in a real small town, not, you know, Phoenix metro area.
So what was your school experience?
Well, it was, you know, it was interesting because I lived in New England. Pretty much everyone in my class, their parents went to the same school. A lot of them, you know, we had some of the same teachers that our parents had. So, I'll be very honest with you, I think it was a very stagnant environment because I didn't see anything that was very progressive about it at all because you were dealing with a situation where English was being taught to me by the same individual that English was being taught to my dad. In a number of years, obviously, it was a transition. Mm. And I don't think that they were keeping up with the times. And that was my own experience.
Yeah,
but at the same time now, and I did for my own children and not my grandkids, I'm a strong believer that education is absolutely positively critical because the future of our, you know, Phoenix metro, our town, our state, and our country resides on these children that are in school today.
Yeah, I would agree. In my experience, well, I had different experiences, but I think in, they called it junior high, and now it's called middle school, I think, right? Something
right.
like that.
Depends on which part of the country you live in.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay. The elementary school was okay, although we had some strange teachers that would take a ruler if you misbehave and smack you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think they can do that
anymore. No, they can't do that anymore.
So that was interesting. I saw my older brother get smacked quite a bit. I go, I don't want but it was on their hand or the back of their hand or something like that. So, but then junior high, I thought was out of control. I thought there was no they let people do stuff. I think, I don't know where security was or you know, certain people that would have control at lunch and stuff. I thought it was a disaster there. High school was a little bit better, and maybe it's just the particular school I was at.
Sure.
Perhaps.
Well, and middle school is kind of its own thing, too. You know, I mean, middle school's a tough time in development for kids. So, you know, it brings its own dynamic to the table as well.
I like college better. I could play hooky. No, I like that.
Somebody get away with it, right?
Yeah. No, I did like that much better. I thought college was, like, way better, more independent. It was, you know, it's sort of people would really communicate the fact, hey, it's up to you. You know, you're you know, high, you know, how high you can go is really how much you study and you put in. And it should be, in theory, the same for public schools. But I never got that feeling. Like, you know, we'll just sort of float you through graduation.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and that's a great point because I really believe in starting early and thinking about long term. So when I work with my families, if I start with a preschool family, I say, you know, it's not too early to think about what you want for them long term with their education. I ask schools that. I say, when do you start college counseling? And I usually preface that in the elementaries by saying, this is not meant to be a funny question. When do you start college counseling? And so, you know, it makes them stop and think because honestly, are their kids college bound or are they trade bound, which is fine. But let's talk about that. Let's start talking to kids early on about what do you want to be when you grow up? Kids usually tell you. Now, that changes, of course, over time. I'm sure all three of us could say the different things we thought we would be when we grew up. But kids have a pretty good sense of who they are inside and what general kind of goal they may have.
But I think one of the things, too, is the fact that you hit on it, whether you're a child that has the potential to go to college or not. I think that in a lot of our foreign countries, the focus on education is so much more intense that I know I spent a lot of time in Japan back in the early 80s, and the major focus there, and they're talking about kindergarten and whatever, is the school your child went to and got into that system had a direct influence on whether they were going to get into the top universities in the country.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I like to clarify a little bit, too, because I believe all children have the potential to go to college. It's whether they want to or not. Yeah. And you know, I think that's something to keep in mind, too. So when I talk about working with families as to their long-term goals, you know, what are their hopes? And let's make sure we're on the right path to get them there. And absolutely. You're right, Gordon. I agree with you.
You know, that's interesting. You said whether they want to or not, meaning go to college. And you're talking about the students, right? The kids.
Right, right.
How much is that influenced by the parents' own filters and the parents' own perceptions and maybe their own belief systems, whether the parents were capable? Most parents want better for their kids, but is that tainted at all?
Sure. Well, it's another filter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, if parents themselves have attended college, they generally want their own children to attend college. If they have not attended college and they've done well, they may say, you know, I'm not sure college is so important. However, I think, you know, I do talk with families that it is important to consider today and what is going to be required of our kids coming out of high schools and going on to the workforce. And, you know, what I'm reading and hearing is that a bachelor's degree is important. So associates, a bachelor's degree at minimum is important. No matter what you're going to do with your future.
You know, I like what you said, long-term planning, because I just know Gordon likes that too, because Gordon's one of the best strategic planners I know, for sure.
True.
And Gordon, I mean, that isn't that nice that that Ellie, even in elementary school, is starting to have them focus, the parents, the kids, the schools, on long-term planning. How valuable
is
that?
Well, I think that's critical. And, you know, it's as critical in your personal lives as it is in your business lives. And I think one of the things I know that I really focus on working with my clients is we talk about what are the critical goals. And one of the critical goals categories I have with all of my clients is one called personal. What are some of your personal goals? And I mean, like, you're going to go out and have a date night with your wife once a month or something like that. I mean, seriously, from that standpoint, because a lot of people get hung up into the, well, I got to focus on here and I got to focus on there. And I think that really translates into the whole parent education system and things like that. And it's really important to, and I feel strongly about this, is the fact that don't be influenced by your own experiences. You know, neither of my parents went to college. Only one of them graduated from high school. My mother only went to the eighth grade. So, I mean, obviously, you know, there was, you know, no background from someone in college. You know, I had an uncle that was a doctor, so obviously he went to college, and another one was a college professor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I think it's really the fact, in supporting what Ellie said, I really strongly believe that a college education is absolutely critical in today and in the future environment. For you to get a decent job, you'll need a college education.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about planning long term. And the reason why I think that's so important, too, is that you need to be on the right path before you get to high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, waiting till high school is really too late. And that's not meant to stress parents or families out, but it's really to just make them aware that in today's world, education is critical for their future. And what is the path they want to be on, and what's the best path to be on to get there?
Totally makes sense. And I guess this is a debate up in Washington, too, about, you know, how much funding, you know, how much focus, priority for schools, for teachers. I always thought teachers just are way underpaid. They got to, like, flip it over. I mean, they got to have better pay for teachers. And also, I think, for firemen and police.
Absolutely.
I don't know. That's just sort of how I think.
Absolutely. I think there's a general misunderstanding of how hard teachers work and principals work. So it's not really a 9-month job. It's a 12-month job, and it's really 12 months, 24 hours job. Most good teachers and principals are in their heads thinking about their job on a regular basis and improving it, learning, buying materials, spending their own funds,
whoa,
those kinds of things. So
that's
I'm right there with you on that thought.
Yeah. How about you, Gordon?
Absolutely, yeah. Positively, without a doubt.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, on one of the breaks, we talked about what parents want for their child for a school, you know, whether it's their school, a new school. And I was really interested, and I wrote down what you said, you know, happy, safe, and challenged. And those are the common theme when you ask parents.
Absolutely. So, you know, generally, you know, in today's world, unfortunately, the word safe comes up maybe more often. Certainly, you know, recent events have encouraged schools to revisit that issue and making sure their environments are safe. But also, parents really want their kids to be happy. And then also the challenge piece, you know, whether your child is struggling and needs additional help, or whether your child is at the other end of the spectrum and is either academically talented, you know, highly academically talented or gifted, they need to be challenged as well. And we want to take every child from where they are now and move them forward.
Is that a result of certain schools not being able to challenge there's too many kids per teacher? Or is it just the teacher, or what do you think it could be if there's not challenging things going on for kids?
Sure. I think it can be lots of things, you know, David. I think, you know, it can be a lack of a good curriculum. It can be teacher quality. It could be a certain culture of the schools become apathetic. There could be leadership change or a lot of factors that affect that.
Wow, but these all are great factors. And, you know, I think you become a blessing for so many people as well as the schools, because, you know, the parents, they're in the very fast-paced world today, I think it's hard for parents just to make ends meet. I mean, you got typically two parents working, and who's left out? Usually it's the kid.
Right, absolutely.
So you're actually doing more than meets the eye. You're actually refocusing parents. You're giving hope to children, and you're giving, I think, maybe stronger competition among schools, because by what you're doing, if one school starts to not perform as well in any area, and you start recommending other kids to other schools, if they're a good business, like you said, schools are businesses, they better shape up.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a piece we didn't talk about. I believe in community service. And one of the pieces that I do within my business is I do give back to schools. Schools cannot compensate me. I don't accept fees from schools. I don't advertise schools on my website. Mm. But what I do for schools is I'm basically doing free marketing for schools as well. And then I'm also giving them anonymous feedback as to ways they may wish to improve. And it's based on why families are selecting their school or not selecting their school, or perhaps things that I'm learning when I'm meeting with them.
So it's like not just free marketing, but probably consulting.
Absolutely.
Wow. Gordon, that is, why would any school not want to talk to this young lady?
Well, and I think that was one of the things that Ellie touched on earlier. And I don't know, and I'm not sure the answer was ever clear. I mean, I obviously I know the answer, but from a standpoint, do schools feel threatened by you and what you do?
That's a great question. Schools typically don't understand what I do because no one is doing what I'm doing. So I love to go in, have time to explain to the administrator what I'm about, what my services are, how I'm helping families, but also how it's helping schools. And once they have heard my story, they typically say, wow, what a great idea. And thank you very much, and we'd love to have you bring us students.
This is really a great idea. Really,
thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And also, we talked on one of the breaks, and I want to bring this up because this is really interesting to me. Is you also work with companies, probably large companies. Well, it could be any company that recruits and have people come into Arizona. Talk a little bit about that, because I find that fascinating.
Absolutely. So, you know, when an HR manager, for example, is trying to recruit families or recruit an employee to their company, and they have a family with children. So, unfortunately, sometimes there's word that Arizona does not have the greatest education because we're funded at such a low rate. But really, we do very well in education in Arizona, given the funding and where we perform against the national average. So what I do is I work with HR managers or recruiters or employee benefits. Folks within companies to offer my services either as a referral directly to the employee, or it could be a paid employee benefit. So when a recruiter's bringing someone to Arizona, they can say, hey, and we understand you have children. If you'd like someone to help you with schools moving to Arizona, since you don't know anything about our schools, we've got All Schools Considered, and Ellie Gaines could work with you.
Wow, it's a benefit for them and a benefit for you.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is clever, right, Gordon?
Absolutely.
Very innovative. Now, we only have about 4 minutes left. I do want to talk about something else that was really interesting and struck my attention, is schools have their own culture. And, you know, I would never have thought of that. I'm thinking like, oh, a public school is a public school controlled by the government, blah, blah, blah. So how do schools develop their own culture?
Absolutely. Well, it's like any family or any organization or any group. We all join different groups for different reasons. And, you know, all those groups have personalities. I joined the North Phoenix Chamber for a reason. I was impressed with them. And so they have a personality and a culture and a niche. So do schools, and it's really important to discover that culture and niche. And so, for example, when I walk into a school, because I've lived inside school buildings for 30 years as a teacher and a principal and a parent and a volunteer, you know, I can fairly quickly walk in and feel the culture of a school from the second I open that front door.
And what are some of cultures that, how would you contrast?
Sure.
That?
So, well, immediately inside the front door is whether they're friendly. And if, you know, if no one looks up and greets you and is friendly, you know, good old customer service comes into play even in schools. And if they're not going to look up and greet me when I walk in the door, I'm guessing that's probably the same way they treat their families. However, if I walk in and someone looks up and says, good morning, welcome, we're glad you're here, that's a pretty good feeling. The other thing that I look for is, you know, I look at learning. What learning is taking place? How engaged are the kids? Are the kids encouraged to be a part of the conversation, or is the teacher doing all the direction? And there's places for both of those throughout the course of the school day. But really looking at are kids the focus or are teachers the focus? And sometimes we get a little mixed up with that in education.
Now, who's the driving force behind developing a culture? Would it be the principal? Or I always thought in business, Gordon, I think you might appreciate this, I call it the influencer. So it doesn't have to be the owner, but who influences the culture most? And it doesn't have to be an owner. But in this case, in schools, who would it be? Would it be a collective consciousness of old-timers that have been there for, you know, 25 years?
I'd like to share something. Perception of parents. The school that my grandsons go to, they recently had a change in principal. The principal that was there was, I mean, everybody in the world thought he was Superman, seriously. And he was, actually. And they opened a new school, and so he got the school. And everybody was concerned about what was going to happen to the school when he wasn't there anymore. And, I mean, to me, that is
a good point.
That's the culture issue
absolutely.
You're talking about.
Sure, it's just like a company. You're absolutely right, Gordon, that, you know, the leadership is critical in a school. But also, you know, parents can develop a culture of a school. Mm-hmm. The staff can develop the culture of the school. It's typically the adults that develop the culture of that school.
Very, very. That is fascinating. Can you believe this hour has flown by?
No, it's really
like,
flown by. Thank
felt
you.
Felt like 10 minutes, didn't it?
Did feel like 10 minutes.
This is amazing. So, Ellie, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. So thanks for asking. I have a website at allschoolsconsidered.com. There's a contact form on there. They could email me at info@allschoolsconsidered.com, or they could also call me at 602-686-4480.
Wow.
And I look forward to hearing from families.
Oh, this is excellent. Really appreciate it. Gordon, how do they get in touch with the Phoenix Chamber?
I think basically same thing. You go on the website, and that provides a tremendous amount of information, gives you the phone numbers, all the contacts. It's northphoenixchamber.com. Just go on there, and that's the easiest way to make the contact.
Well, Ellie Gaines, thank you so much for coming in, owner of All Schools Considered. Of course, Gordon Parkman, owner of Achieve Results Consulting, and the chairman of the board, right? Phoenix Chamber of Commerce. Get out there this Thursday at, where is it again?
Kona Grill.
Excellent. That's a good restaurant.
City North.
I like that. I'm going to have some food. I'm going.
There you go.
Now we're talking. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. We'll see everyone tomorrow on More Breakthrough Thinking.